real honor to be able to give a message, especially in this church. Dave does not give up his pulpit easy. And I get that. I was a pastor, and he's very cautious of who teaches and what they teach. I went out to lunch probably a year ago with Dave, and he grilled me for lunch. He grilled me, find out what I know, what I don't know, what I teach, what I believe, and that's good. That's good. That's a really good thing. I am probably right on the same lines as this church, and of course, he gave me the book, you know, the Calvary book with all the stuff in it. So I read it. Today, I want to talk on two subjects actually. It kind of go together, and that's faith and hearing God, because there's a verse in the Bible in Romans 10:17 that says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Okay, but the word of God comes in many fashions. It doesn't just come from a Bible. The Bible is a great source for the word of God, but the word of God in the Old Testament was not only written, but it also was oral, wasn't it? The prophets. So we're going to start off by reading Hebrews chapter 1 and part of a little bit of 2. And that's going to be our text for today. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir over all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The Son exalted above angels, for to which of the angels did he say, "You are my Son, today I've begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and to him to and he shall be to me a son." But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And the angels say, "Who makes his angels spirits?" To the angels he says, he makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, O Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hand. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail." But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? And a little bit in verse chapter 2, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. What we see in our Hebrews text, that God indeed speaks to his people, even today. It says that he speaks to us through his word. He also speaks to us in our spirit. How many have ever had God talk to you in your spirit? And you kind of just know what to do. Yeah. I mean, and we're going to talk about that more, of how God, when he designed us, he designed us for hearing. He designed us to be able to hear with more than just our ears. So how do we hear? Our ears are just a reverse speaker. There's monitors on the stage. The monitors are faced towards the band, towards the music. That's so the musicians can hear. Our ears actually work the same way. They're monitors for us. And they're turned backwards. So the sound goes in this way, and what happens to it? It goes into our mind, right? So we hear with our whole being. Our ears hear the spoken word or the sound that we comprehend with our mind, our brain, because we have been trained during life through schooling, through parents, through nature, and all of our experience, internal and external, begin to accumulate this sound that we're hearing, and then we then can figure out what somebody's saying, hopefully, unless they're confusing. But that's how we do it. And we learn through all the things that came into our life from the little kid all the way up to where we're at now. That's why the elders, if they were raised right, are more wise. And we don't give the elders due respect sometimes. My grandfather used to always say, now that I have all the answers, nobody's wanting to ask me the question. How true that is today. You know, we kind of discard our old people. They're the ones that have the knowledge and the wisdom. You know, you can have book learning, but wisdom is not part of book learning, is it? Not really. It gives you information. It gives you, but wisdom, I think, comes from God. That's how to take that knowledge that we've learned and the things that we've learned and the parents and the schooling and everything and get a right decision out of our walk. You know, we walk in the Spirit, hopefully, so that wisdom gets us to the right decision at the moment. That makes sense? So that's how Christians operate. The world operates on a little different thing. Sometimes they'll make decisions based on just knowledge. And you know what happens after that, because, wow, I know about this, but they make a decision that is contrary to probably what God would do, you know. So anyway, but when we read the word, our eyes become our ears. We comprehend in our heart, our soul, and our body, and our spirit through our eyes. So when we're reading, we're not using our ears, are we? The eyes become reverse speakers, in a sense, to tell our brain, because when I read, I can actually hear myself. Anybody else? You know, I'm speaking silently to my brain. And I'm reading that, and what happens is the Bible knowledge that I've accumulated since I got saved. By the way, I didn't know nothing when I got saved. I didn't know revelations from Genesis. I went to Bible college not to become a pastor. That just accidentally happened. God just kind of led me that direction, you know, after 20-something years before I became a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. It's no fun sometimes. I like being an associate pastor. Nobody cares. Nobody attacks you. Nobody, you don't get bad letters. You don't get a lot of stuff. But pastors get it all. So I really didn't want to become a pastor. And in fact, I was telling Dave just the other day, I said, live long and prosper. I certainly wouldn't want to have to, you know, step in while you found a pastor. But I'm 68. I'm kind of trying to wind down my life, you know. But and it's not happening, by the way, you know, with the movie and everything. Oh, my goodness. In fact, we're leaving tomorrow. We're going down to Los Angeles, and we're going to meet with Kirk Cameron's family. I know, pretty cool, huh? And of course, Kinsey May is Kirk Cameron's cousin, so that probably helps. We're going to meet at Kinsey's house, and we're going to show Chloe's Mountain, and Kirk Cameron has never seen it, so kind of a neat thing. And their grandparents, they are getting up on, they're in their 90s. So she actually wants to show it to her grandparents before they. And her father was in the hospital. He's never seen, nobody's ever seen it except for you guys and a few people in Paradise. I really haven't put it out there because it's touchy. You don't want it out too much or nobody would pick it up. Anyway, that's kind of a neat thing. We're going down tomorrow. We'll come back Wednesday. But, you know, who would have thought that would be a ministry I would be into at 68 years old? You know, I'll be 69 in a few months. I guess to somebody like Rex over there, that's probably a young whippersnapper, huh? Yeah. But and he's on a new journey. How many are on a new journey? I mean, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah, we've made this transition. We got burnout. We're trying to figure out how to do life in Paradise and Magalia. And, you know, we're no exception. Just because our house didn't burn doesn't mean we're not affected. They canceled my insurance. I've got, I think, 8 days left or 5 days left, and I won't have any insurance on my house. And I have called and called and called. Nobody's going to insure me. The California Fair Plan, or the California Fraud Plan is what I call it, they want $10,000 a year. Not a month, but that's still a lot of money to pay for insurance when my insurance before the fire was only $2,000 a year. So an $8,000 increase. Are anybody else going through all that? You will. They're not. There's a moratorium on cancellations right now, so get ready. I think it's a revenue enhancement thing, but so anyway, we hear with our eyes by reading. We hear and comprehend with our hearts, our soul, our body, and our spirit. We are a hearing device that God made, and I just wanted to bring that out with a little example. Saturday morning, I said to my wife that I loved her, and I didn't know if I could live in this world without her, nor do I even want to try, is what I said to her. I wasn't reading it then, but I wanted to get it right. And Donna's entire demeanor changed. I'm glad she's not here. I can talk about her. But her entire demeanor changed. I don't want to leave you guys out over here. She got flush in the face. She stopped. She was in mid-stride. She was very busy doing stuff with the music and everything, and getting ready to watch the 49er game. Boy, they ran away with that one, didn't they? And so she was really busy, and when I stopped her, I said, Donna, I love you. And then I told her I didn't know that I could live in this world without her and wouldn't really want to try. And I'm telling you, it was like she was in frozen motion and her face got red and flushed, you know, not red from embarrassment. And her eyes started tearing up. And her demeanor just came like a cuddly bear kind of demeanor instead of charge forth. And I think even her heart skipped a beat, and I think it's very possible that her hair got shinier. And it made me realize I needed to use that as an example, because her entire being heard what I said. Her entire being changed when she found out how much I loved her, which I don't tell her near enough. So tell somebody today. You know, and I realized at that point, this example was perfect for this sermon. And this example is in my sermon that Donna's going to be doing up in Sterling City, because Pastor Mike had to work today and he needed somebody to take over. And I said, well, you can do my sermon up there. So she's going to read this and go, what? But God spoke to us by his prophets and Jesus. And by the way, the Bible says that everything in here, he was called the Word. Remember in John chapter 1? In fact, let's turn to John chapter 1 for a minute. And because that's real important to understand who Jesus is. Because some people think he was just the Son of God, but he's actually God in the flesh, second part of the Trinity. It says, in the beginning, verse 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things that were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. And then if you skip down to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Who might that be? Jesus, see? So he's called the Word. The Word existed before Jesus did. Jesus didn't exist in heaven, not as Jesus. I mean, that was the bodily manifestation of God, but he was called the Word before he was called Jesus. So we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. See, so he's saying he was the Word. He was made flesh. And why do you think he was made flesh? Was it a good idea that he came down to this crazy world and became flesh and got beat and they crucified him? I mean, why would God do that? Maybe because he loved us and he knew from the beginning of time that man needed a Savior, right? So he came out of heaven, the Word. He was good up there. He was making planets. He made the earth. He did all these things. And yet he came to earth to save us. He said, "Yet when you were yet sinners, I died for you." In other words, you don't have to get up and go out and clean up your life. And no, God never cleans his fish before he catches them. You know what I'm saying? Do you clean your fish before you catch them? No. He's what he does is he gives us a relationship. He gets us into a relationship with him, and then he cleans our life up. I had a friend that when I first got saved, I had this friend, and I tried to bring him to the Lord. And he goes, well, when I get some things straightened out, and I get my dominoes in a row, and my ducks in a row, I will, I might do that. But right now, my life's a mess. He actually, Facebook, he actually Facebooked me, I think it was about a year and a half ago. And he found me, you know, he's down in Yuba City or someplace. And he found me on Facebook, and he says, well, I guess the joke's on me, Wes. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, I met a girl, and she was a Christian, and then I got saved, and now I go to church every Sunday. So it's kind of nice to hear those stories, isn't it? But, you know, we can't wait until we get our ducks in a row to come to Christ. He's patient. Believe me, it took me 20 years before he even let me in the pulpit. You know, I mean, my life was so messed up. I didn't come to Christ till I was in my 30s. So I had a lot of world that I had to kind of get rid of out of my life. And so what he does is he comes into our life and he begins to talk to us in that still small voice that only God can do. He can talk to us and he can guide us. And that's what the Holy Spirit and Jesus does. They guide us into all righteousness, right? Isn't that what's cool about God? Is that he cares so much for each one of us. And a lot of people, I used to say, well, God doesn't talk to me. I mean, he's got worlds to worry about and wars and rumors of wars, and he's got to worry about Iran right now and all kinds of stuff, and that's not true at all. The more I read the scripture and the more I prayed and the more I sought the Lord, the more I started to understand God a little bit. You know, you can actually understand God. He's pretty, you know, I mean, you can understand how much he loves you, right? You can understand by seeking out the word how much he cares about the church. You can seek out the word and you can find out that the word was with God and word was God. See, without this, we would have no, it's like our instruction manual. And we got all your life to, you know, he's not looking for scholars when you get saved. He's looking, you're a child. Even Paul, remember Paul, saying, I'd love to give you some meat, but you're still on milk. You know, so you can grow or you can not grow, but doesn't mean you're still not saved. You can come to Jesus and be dumb all your life and never seek the word, never pray, and probably still get into heaven. I don't think that he looks at your report card and says, well, you know, you didn't learn to recite John 1:1. You don't even know John 3:16. You know, yes, it's good to grow in Christ, but he's not doing a report card. You're an individual. And he takes you as an individual, and he teaches you, and he nourishes you, and he moves you along little by little. Sometimes he's got to drag you a little bit. Ugh. Sometimes he's got to discipline you a little bit. Ow. But at 33, I was a party, hardy kind of guy at 33. I had gone through a divorce, and I was single, and I thought, well, I got to go out and sow some oats. So when I came to the Lord, I didn't want him. I wasn't interested. It wasn't a conscious decision. I don't want God. It was just that I was too busy having fun and doing this and going skiing and partying and everything, all this stuff, right? And that's when he came into my life. In the midst of not even knowing who he was, really. I kind of did, because my grandfather was a preacher, you know, and I had gotten baptized when I was little. I'm wondering if that was a commitment, that was the mustard seed that I gave to God, to saying, I have this faith in you. And I look back on my childhood now and I see all the things he did in my life. Even before I gave my heart to him the second time, when I really got serious about my faith. And I say, you know, he was with me all along. Even when I didn't acknowledge him and go to church. In fact, if somebody was in a car and they turned on the radio and a Christian station came up, I would turn it off really quick. Oh my gosh, I don't want somebody to think I'm religious. So we're talking today about how God speaks to us, how we hear him through our mind, body, soul, and spirit. Every ounce of us can hear God. Our spirit can hear God. When God gives us a compliment, we just kind of melt, don't we? When we find out, he loves us so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, how many is a whosoever in here? Yeah, me too. Whosoever, that's why I knew I could come to Christ, because I'm a whosoever. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what happens is, when you start getting this, you start getting more faith. Do you know that God gives us the measure of faith to accept him in the first place? It's not even comes from us. God loves us so much, he gave us a measure of faith. It's actually written in there. I don't remember where, but it is. That he gives everybody a measure of faith to accept him. And from that point, we go kind of from faith to faith to faith. And he increases our faith. How many got saved and God showed you some humongous miracles in the beginning? Yeah, me too. I mean, I'll tell you, he needed to move me along a little. You know, he knew what I was going to be doing later in life, and I guess. And so he showed me some things and some miracles in my life that I went, wow. In fact, the first year that I was a Christian, that's the only word I could say. Wow. And I was reading the Bible, and I ended up, I think not too long after I got saved, went to Bible college. And not, like I said, not to become a pastor, just to know the Bible more, know Jesus more. And, you know, I recommend that. If you can get, today, there's online colleges. And they're not that expensive, and you can go online, and you can learn, and you can increase your knowledge of the Lord, of scriptures. And also what happens, the more you know about God, the more your faith gets higher. That's why Peter could walk on water. I mean, he had seen Jesus doing miracles, feeding the 5,000. He saw all these things, and so he calls out to God. Well, you know, he didn't quite have enough faith to just jump out of the boat by himself, but he knew if Jesus called on him that he could do it. He had a lot of faith. And you know why I know it wasn't just Jesus that did something? It wasn't Jesus that made that water. It was Peter's faith that made him walk on water. And I'll prove it here in a second. He gets out of the boat, right? And he walks up to Jesus, and the storm starts bustering a little bit more. I'm sure that was Jesus. And all of a sudden, his faith waned, and he started to sink. That's why I know it wasn't Jesus that, like, put this hard thing under the water. No, his faith was making him walk on water. Remember, he said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, it's in our movie, in case you missed it, that you could tell this mountain to go jump in the sea, and it will. We don't see a mustard seed? I have a mustard seed. You could barely see it. So obviously we don't have a lot of faith. Some people are faith healers. Some people, you know, can do a lot of miracles and stuff. It's because their faith is more. Miracles come from faith. So anyway, Hebrews 11:1 says that faith, let me turn back to Hebrews. Okay, there we are. So God at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers and the prophets and has in the last days spoken by his Son. He is appointed, of whom he has appointed heir to all things, and through him he made all the worlds, and who is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So right there it's saying that Jesus is the express image of his person. Now skip over to verse 8. It says, but to the Son, he says, who says? God, right? Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. God the Father, right there in that verse, is calling the Son God. I've heard people say, well, he never claimed to be God. Well, God seems to think he's God, right? And I'm not going to refute the Father. So God called him God, and he says, and you forever and ever, and the scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. So how many of you know Bob Kilpatrick that came here? He wrote this little book here, and I bought it. You got that? Isn't that a great book? I just finished it, and I wanted to read something here about our subject today, but Bob's a deep thinker. Man, some of the things he comes up with, I'm going, I've been in the ministry a long time, never heard this stuff. It's good. You know, he thinks, he's a deep thinker. But our surrender is not to give up and lie down, meaning when we surrender to Christ, when we give our heart to Christ, they call it surrendering. And there's a reason why we call it surrendering. Because especially us tough guys, you know, we have a hard time surrendering to the Lord and making him Lord. When he said, you're Lord of my life, lordship means we follow him. The word Christian means follower of Christ. We follow the Lord. He is our king. He is our prince. He is our mentor. He's everything. Yeah, we can't be above God. Satan tried to be above God. So surrendering means we have to surrender our will to his will. It's one of the hardest things for people to do. It's why a lot of people don't come to Christ, because they just can't do that. But he says our surrender is not to give up and lie down, roll over and wet on ourselves. He didn't say that, but, you know. But our surrender is not to give up and lie down, but to stop countering his moves. I'll say that again. Our surrender is not to give up and lie down, but to stop countering his moves and instead move with him. We spend so much time wrestling with God. Does that sound familiar? We don't seem to trust him enough to move with him. We put our defenses up because we think we have a better idea for ourselves than he does. We're frightened of the unknown, perhaps, or maybe we think we won't be able to keep up. That's wisdom, isn't it? It's wisdom. But sometimes we tell everybody we trust God, but sometimes we make our own moves. And every time I make my own move, I go around the mountain a few times, like Like the Israelites did when they didn't trust God. They had to go around the mountain. And we don't want to do that. Not in our lives. It's no fun. So, Paul Harvey would say, page 2. I love that man. So there's another verse in the Bible that says, his sheep hear his voice. We're sheep. He didn't make us lions yet. We're sheep. We have to have a shepherd. Sheep don't have a self-shepherd. If somebody doesn't shepherd them, they're just all over the place. So that's where the surrender comes in, making God our shepherd and letting him lead us into all righteousness. So what are some of the ways we can tune in to God so that we know what he's saying to us? Number one, relationship. That's what my New Year's resolution this year is to have a better relationship. And the way we do that is to pray without ceasing. You wonder how you do that. Well, you don't close your eyes while you're driving. It's not a good thing. What he's talking about there is be in constant communication with God. I'm getting better at that. I'm trying to be constantly aware that God is with me. You know, it's like a beautiful dance. There was a girl that got kind of swept up on the dance floor. It was written in the Daily Bread I was reading. And she was at a wedding, kind of got swept up onto the dance floor by a guy that was a professional dancer. And she was really nervous. She wasn't a very good dancer. But he grabbed her and he just nudged her this way and that way, and they begin to just twirl. And you know, I want to show you something. Come here. This is amazing. Watch this. I'm not going to tell her what she's going to do, but she's going to know. Yeah. No. Guys, you can do that with any girl. They just automatically do this. It's kind of fun, you know? Just go to a party and go, woo! Yay. But they were dancing and they were, you know, all this stuff. Pretty soon, she's just moving with this professional dancer. She come off the dance floor. She was reeling. She was like my wife. You know, she was just like, wow, that was great. Because she had somebody that knew what they were doing to follow. Well, God knows what he's doing. We just need to follow him and get in his rhythm. And that's what my prayer is this year, is just to get more in a rhythm with the Almighty God that lives in me. Meditate on his awesomeness. I mean, I don't know what it is about this fire, and I see burnt trees, but I also see more beauty than I've ever seen up here in all the time I've been up here. There's just more beauty. I don't understand it. Bask in his love. You have to understand how much he loves you. Boy, that will really help, especially on days when you're not a very nice person. You got to know that he still loves you. And, you know, my kids were not always good. You know, they had their moments. I'm sure I had my moments with my family too, but one of the things that I know, that I didn't quit loving my kids when they caught my guitar on fire. That didn't mean he didn't get a whipping for playing with matches, but you know, I didn't stop loving him. And God's not going to stop loving you. He wants you to learn from your mistakes, just like my kid never did that again. And he wants you to move on. put it into the past, and move on. Move on. So, another way in relationship is be still before Him and listen with your whole mind, body, soul, and spirit. Listen. Be still. Praise Him. A lot of people don't want to do the music part. It's probably one of the most important parts because there's two things that happen when you do praise music. First of all, it's based on Scripture. Look at any song. You'll find verses in there. Almost every song is based on some kind of Scripture. So you're getting the Word inside at the same time you're singing. And you don't have to have a great voice. If you don't have a great voice, just sing a little lower. So you don't mess up your neighbor. But sing. Sing to the Lord. I find myself singing to the Lord in my sleep. Probably because I'm working on songs, but they're all going over and over in my head all the time. And it sure is better than some of the stuff I used to have going on in my mind. Read His Word, written Word. It gives us understanding, faith, hope, and it teaches us to love. It teaches us to love others, you know. We got to get over ourselves. You know, we're so self-focused nowadays. And actually, that's not a good thing. He wants us to be... I found out, I tell all my kids, I said, you will become mature in my eyes when you start giving your lives to other people. When you start caring about other people. I said, I'm going to be overjoyed. I said, I love you the way you are, but when you start giving of yourself to other people, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing to see, isn't it? And they are now. They are. I'm really proud of my kids. By the way, my daughter lives in Sacramento area, and she came up with carloads of stuff for people, and a whole handful of gift cards from Walmart. I mean, $50 gift cards that she got. She went to her church, and people bought gift cards. And she brought them up here with clothes and all kinds of stuff and to help people. And she's not even from here. And so did my daughter-in-law in San Jose. Her church did the same thing. It took me a year to give away those gift cards. I gave some of them here in this church. I didn't want to give them just pass them out on the corner, but I was looking for people that were needy, and I would give them. I wouldn't say that I did it. I would tell them, this is from my daughter who lives in Sacramento. She cares about you. And so, you know, when I see my kids doing that without me prompting them, I'm really happy. Prayer. Not just our list, but talk to Him. Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual, now listen to this word, because I got this wrong. You know, you read something, you get it wrong. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or woman, or child. The effectual. I missed that. I always said, you know, the fervent prayer of a righteous man. How many have quoted that way? But there's another word there. It's effectual. That's like you care, right? Isn't that? Yeah. Yeah, you care enough to pray for somebody, whatever. Still working on that one. Wow, that's great. Community of believers, number four. Church, we listen to the people in our church, our pastors, members, special get-togethers, teachings, Bible studies, music. It's where we hear and we learn and our faith grows through all that. Number five, God the Spirit. That still small voice, when your knower, your heart, receives his word, you just know it. You just know. That's God talking to me. And last, number six, music, art, movies, literature, enemies, gifts of God. Your enemies can teach you stuff. Your weakness. You can learn from your weakness. You can learn from your abilities. You can learn from your disabilities, books, whatever. Because he's our friend and he's our creator. And if you take something away from this today, he's also your GPS. All right? Every time I think I can get somewhere without my GPS, I end up lost. Jesus is our GPS in life. If you just tune into him, he'll get you there correctly and on time. Page 3. What happens when we do not hear God's voice? Dun, 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 dun. We listen to the wrong voices, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We lose our way and are easily deceived. We become proud, hard-hearted, and out of touch with truth and reality. We make bad decisions and bad choices. I think that's the same. We suffer the consequences of our bad decisions and foolish choices. We make excuses for our own sins and blame others. We cause others to suffer, and we lose God's blessing and graces. He still loves us, but we're probably not quite in his graces when we're doing bad things. So, what happens when we do hear God's voice? We are never alone. We experience God with us day by day, step by step. We receive the best guidance and are not easily deceived. Boy, is that going to be prominent in these last days. It says that the devil is going to even be able to, the Antichrist is going to be able to do miracles. And he says that he will deceive even the elect, possibly, you know, if that's possible, meaning us, because we'll be looking at the wrong thing, right? We're not in tune with God, so, you know, what's going to keep us from receiving the 666 if they say we can't buy soup, you know? And it says you won't be able to buy or sell without that, but hopefully we'll be out of here in the rapture. I do believe in the rapture. But there'll still be people here. There'll still be people here that get saved in the rapture, after the rapture. And they need to know, they need to get with the program, don't they? Or they're going to be deceived easily. We become humble, tender-hearted, and in touch with truth and reality. We make good decisions. We receive blessings from our good decisions and wise choices. We take responsibility for our sins. We repent and become better people. We cause others to be happy, and we grow in God's blessing and graces. That's what we get when we listen to God's voice. We become better people, more in tune with what's going on around us. We no longer have to be totally shocked when we watch TV, because, you know, Iran is not going to blow up the world. They'd like to, but God's not going to let them. Doesn't mean they won't set off some bomb somewhere, but the world is only going to be destroyed by God. Here's what I always taught my church. If we die, we die. If you're saved, You know, you have that hope that you're not going to, you don't actually die. Nobody, even the sinner, does not actually die. He just goes on to a different reality, right? You either go on to the God's reality or you go on to Satan's reality. There's only two ways. And by the way, Satan's reality is default. You know what default means? Have you ever worked with anything and they had a default? Yeah, almost everything has a default. Working with a clicker the other day, and it said the default is this. It's default. I was working with my little air conditioning thing on my car, and it said the default is, and it explained what it was. You know, like the default on the air conditioner was, I think it was the vents up by the dash. That was the default. So if the unit burns out, it goes to the default, which would be they want you to be able to see. So they put the defroster as the default in case the unit goes out. As soon as I replaced the unit, that all worked. I had floor heating and everything else. But the default in this world is Satan and everything that he stands for, and hell and damnation and, you know, lake of fire, all that stuff. So we have to make a conscious decision to follow Christ. And if you haven't made that conscious decision to follow Christ, you know, there's nothing special that you have to do. You don't have to come down here. We don't have to lead you into the sinner's prayer. I mean, there's a lot of people get saved in their mop closet. You know, they just accept Jesus into their heart, and you know, go get baptized or something. You know, it's just a nice thing to do. You know, you accept Jesus and you go get baptized. Your baptism is identifying with what Jesus did for us on the cross. He died. He was buried. And what happened next? He rose from the dead. He was the first fruits to our salvation, showing us that when we die and they're buried, we will be resurrected. It's a word picture. It speaks to our heart, our soul, that God had all this planned before he made the foundations of the world. It says that he knows every hair on your head, and he says that he had figured this all out ahead of time. He knows you before the foundation of the earth. Now, what kind of God would do that? A loving God. Not somebody that's just full of rules and regulations. He loves us. He wants us. And he's fishing for us if you haven't accepted him as your Savior. And I don't know who that is. So make sure you ask him in your heart. Make sure you come up to a pastor or whatever at some time and say, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord. That says when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. Isn't that true? Yeah. The confession is to tell somebody. The hard part will be to tell all your friends. Your unsaved friends. Your saved friends will rejoice, but your unsaved friends will go, what are you trying to pull? You trying to get a tax write-off? Anyway, Father, we just thank you.
This is the end of this message. For further information, please contact Calvary Chapel of Paradise, P.O. Box 295, Paradise, California, 95967. And may the Lord richly bless you as you study his word.